I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Give this your full attention, not just me I'm talking about, but the Word and the things of God. Turn everything else off. And instead of the idea of us coming into your room or wherever, no, we've saved you a seat. We want you to come in here with us and tune everything else out. You know, the developing spiritually includes developing powers of focus and concentration. If you're easily distracted, you're easily robbed. Did you hear that?
Yes.
The enemy is always trying to steal from you, rob from you. And one of his favorite tactics is distraction. Because if God's trying to give you something good over here, the enemy will go, hey, what about over here? And while you're over here, you're missing something here. And people talk sometimes, well, but I'm a multitasker. Let's talk about that. Nobody can really do multiple things or give multiple things attention at the same time. You can't. You dart back and forth between them. But when you're looking at this, you're missing something here. And when you're looking at this, you're missing something here. Maybe you can afford to miss it. Maybe you can't. Depends on what it is. But with the things of God, you can't afford to miss any of it. Right? So give it your full attention. Father, we do. We purpose to give you, give your word, give your Holy Spirit our full attention today. And we ask for utterance and anointing and answers and help for now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have been on a series now for weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're going over, we've increased it now to 40 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. You know, the Scripture said in James that if you lack wisdom, and then later on he talked about anything, ask of God, that who gives to everybody liberally and upbraids not. But he went on to say immediately, but you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers, he said, is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You're up, you're down, you're in, you're out, you're yes and now no, and I think so and I don't think so. He said, don't let that person think they will receive anything of the Lord. So it's not okay to be ambivalent. It's not okay to be wavering and vacillating, wondering, questioning. In order to be in faith, you got to get it settled. Yes is God's will. How are you going to do that? Not just coming up with something on your own or something I said or somebody else said. You need thus saith the Lord. You need it is written. And you can count on that. You can build your life on that. It is building your life on the solid rock. That when the rain falls and the winds blow and the storm hits, when it's all settled and cleared, you're standing there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With the answer.
Yes.
Victorious. Anything else is like building on the sand. And that will wash right out from under you, especially when the storm comes. So somebody say, I respect God's word.
I respect God's word.
The Lord's Word
is first place
and final authority
in my life
about everything. See, that means any question that arises in your mind, what's the next thing you should think? What does the Word say? Right? And if you don't know, get your little self busy. Right? Finding out what He said. And that's what we spend basically all our time in faith school doing, is how you're going to get faith. It only comes by hearing. And so how am I going to get faith for this? Then I got to find out what He said about this. Then I can have faith for it. And that's what we're doing with our provision, with material things, with financial things. That's not the only thing in the world, but it is a pretty good chunk of things we have to deal with. And it's wonderful to get that area settled, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, focus on faith in the other areas too. But go with me again to Acts, the second chapter. In our study of 30 and now 40 reasons why we're sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, we're down to reason number 30 in the study. And it's based on these scriptures in Acts that we read yesterday's class. And we're calling it the beginning days of the church. Like we said before, we are a part of the same church that you read about in the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts is still being written. You know, if you read what's the title of the book of Acts, say the Acts of the Apostles is what it says in my Bible. Actually, these titles and even the chapter and verse numbers, no, that's not inspired of God. Men have added that for these captions and these titles and all of that. So actually, it's not just Acts of Apostles. You'll find narratives following prophets, evangelists. Is that right?
Yes.
Believers. Actually, it'd be better named the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church.
Yes.
Huh? Well, is there still a church?
Yes.
Is God still building His church?
Yes.
Is there still a Holy Spirit
yes.
working in and by and far and through His church?
Yes.
So this, you know, ends at a few chapters here, chapter 28. But you and I are in chapter somewhere.
Right.
93,482. Right? Because the church is still going on and the Lord's still adding to the church, people to be saved, and the Holy Spirit's still working through the church. And what am I saying? That God doesn't change. And so His will for the church doesn't change. And the Holy Spirit doesn't change. And so what He used to do through the church, He is still doing through the church. Say it out loud, He doesn't change.
He doesn't change.
He's not going to change.
He's not going to change.
Now, you know, people change. Oh, boy. And throughout the generations, the church has gotten away from God and lost certain things and replaced works of the Spirit with the pitiful works of men. But that doesn't mean we can't get back to the way the Lord worked in the early days of the church and see the same thing again, and even greater. So in the second chapter of Acts, there's, you know, if you haven't read the book of Acts, oh, you need to. And if you hadn't read it recently, read it again. Because there is so much light and direction and revelation about how we are supposed to be living right now. You see all of the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit demonstrated in the book of Acts. They're all there. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, working of miracles, faith, what we call special faith, tongues, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, All nine of these you will find and see demonstrated, exemplified, examples of them in the book of Acts. And like we were saying before, when people say early church, it's almost like, you know, that's a different church from us. And you even hear people say some foolish things like, well, you know, the apostles had that kind of power, but when the last apostle died, then all that ceased. And so we don't need what they needed. We got a better way of doing it than the Holy Spirit's way? No, that's preposterous thinking. And it's just foolish men trying to explain an absence of things they don't understand. No, we need what happened there as much now as anybody ever needed it, right?
Yes.
And God works the same ways, these same nine manifestations. And he's still doing miracles. He's still doing healings. He's still doing signs and wonders. There are still different kinds of tongues and interpretation. If you think, well, I don't know about all that. Well, it's true whether you know about it or not. There was a time when I didn't know about some of this, but hallelujah, I found out more. And I'm expecting to find out more. But you can be sure of this. If it's in the book of Acts, you're supposed to be seeing it now. Today. We are a part. Say it out loud. We are a part.
We are a part.
Of the same church.
Of the same church.
In the book of Acts.
In the book of Acts.
We've got the same Holy Spirit. Got the same name of Jesus. Got the same gospel. Right?
Right.
Same. Now, what we see, and of course, you know, it'd be wonderful to just take chapter by chapter in the book of Acts and study it for months. It'd do nothing but help you wonderfully. But our purpose right now is just to look at it relative to faith for provision. And we saw in the second chapter, verse 41, 3,000 people were saved. Is that still the will of God?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so they continued, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching and ministry and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 44, all that believed were together. Now that doesn't just mean that they all lived in the same space or the same house, but they were together. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw in the fourth chapter that it described one heart, one soul. And you know, this is the second chapter. And you see that in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that's when the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And they all spoke with tongues. Well, that togetherness, that unity, that oneness. Now, that doesn't mean I turn into you and you turn into me. And that doesn't mean that everybody now likes vanilla. We are, and we're always going to be, individuals with some differences. But on the big things, we need to be together. Is that right? Things pertaining to God, His Word, His will, His Spirit, His plan, His church. We don't need to be going 100 different ways. We need to be on the same page. Is that right?
Yes.
After the same thing. And in the beginning days of the church, they were. If it could happen then, it could happen the rest of the successive generation. Now, obviously it hadn't, because the body of Christ has splintered into 100,000 plus groups. And a lot of people saying, well, I can't get along with you. And I can't get along with you. And you got a church of 20 that decide after 2 years, well, I can't get along with you. And they split. 10 go this way and 10 go that way. That's the enemy. Because he knows the more splintered we are, the weaker we are. And the more ineffective we are. Because like we had said in yesterday's class, I don't have it all. You don't have it all. And if we splinter all of us apart, then that's not the body. Do you know he talked about this, that the Lord has placed all of us in the body of Christ as it has pleased him. And then he described the human body. He described the eyes, the ears, and the mouth, and the hands, and the feet, and all that. Well, what if your body parts blew apart into 200,000 different pieces? Well, it couldn't do anything, right? Couldn't run, couldn't jump, sure couldn't play a sport, right? Or lift a load, or do anything. Can you see the enemy's plan? If he can blow us apart, if he can splinter us, if he can segment us enough, then we are ineffective. And we are, weak and just don't have everything. But you begin to see wonderful things when just a couple of groups put their petty differences aside and agree on the big things. And then another group comes and joins, and this one joins. And we don't have to see eye to eye on everything. I mean, if I want to go to McDonald's, you want to go to Burger King, okay. Right? Huh? If you like jeans and I like khakis, hey, we're both saved.
Yes.
Right? That ain't important.
Amen.
But believing, agreeing that the Word of God is right,
yes,
that's important. Believing and understanding there's only one King of Kings, only one Lord of Lords, Jesus, the head of the church. Agreeing that the main directive is to get this gospel into all the world. And you see, they had this. They had this. You're looking at, particularly in these first pages here, a true Spirit-filled church. Now, that term is bandied around very loosely nowadays. You know, Spirit-filled this, Spirit-filled that. I mean, some things it's humorous when you think about it. What do you mean Spirit-filled what? And you hear people, I heard somebody say some years ago, they said, did you hear about that preacher so-and-so? What? Well, he ran off with the building fund and the piano player. And he was Spirit-filled. Not that day he wasn't.
Nope.
Are y'all awake? And probably a lot of days before that.
Right.
No, full of the Spirit means a lot more than somebody spoke in tongues a few years ago.
Right.
Or what? No, Spirit-filled is God-filled,
yes,
is love-filled.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
Faith filled, word filled,
yes,
hallelujah,
victory
filled. And that's what you see with these guys. And it, here we're in the end of chapter 2. Again, what happened in the beginning of chapter 2? They all got filled. Well, let's just read it. Chapter 2 and 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were what? Huh? Down in the parking lot fighting and arguing?
No.
They were with one accord in one place. I heard a preacher trying to explain this one time. He said, you can tie two cat's tails together and hang them on a clothesline. They are together, but they are not in unity. And I'm not advocating being mean to animals. But proximity doesn't mean unity. Right? You can have people living in the same house and they are feet from each other and hate each other and just, venom against each other. But it's not about just the geographic proximity. Your mind is thinking the same. Your priorities are the same. Your desire and focus is in the same direction. This is powerful, my brother, sister. This is something the enemy is scared of. That's why he just works night and day to stir up some kind of strife, some kind of animosity. And the truth is, the more of a baby you are, the easier it is to set you off. Huh? The more mature you are, the more developed and spiritual you are, little things don't set you off. You overlook them. You're like, no big deal. Until it is a big deal, which is the Word, which is Jesus. But the more immature you are, you're suspicious and fearful and hold a grudge, and that's being carnal. And you don't want to be a carnal Christian. You want to be a spiritual person. And a spiritual person is growing up in God. God is love. Developing in God is developing in love. Now, not this, I love my car, I love pizza, I love you, love. The love of God that's willing to sacrifice and be uncomfortable to help you. That's what Jesus did for us, right? And so it says in this, they were all filled with the Spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. It set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the word ghost is simply the word pneuma. It's the word for spirit. Don't think Casper. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Somebody say, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Now, what does a church look like that's filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, everything that you read in this chapter, and of course, one of the things you'll see is the gospel was priority. The gospel going out and being preached and being provided for and people being sent, that was priority. But then also, down at the end of the chapter, it says, verse 44, Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together. Boy, these are some, it don't take long to say that sentence, but this is big. All, everybody say all.
All.
That believed, they were what?
Together.
Together. And they had all things common. You'll find this too, that the more you develop, the more you grow in God, in love, in the Spirit, in faith, then material things and money take a different place in your life. They are a useful tool, but they don't run you.
That's right.
And you don't spend all your time chasing them. They are not, Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon being the god of money and things. When you, are not born again, or even if you're born again, but you let your flesh and selfishness dominate you, then you're too concerned about things. And you think too much about money. And there's fear. You're afraid you're going to lose it. Or you're afraid somebody's going to get what you have. Or somebody's going to get what you want. And this fear shows a self emphasis and a self focus. It shows an immaturity. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you see it differently.
Yes.
Can you see this? And all of them, these are thousands of people now already at the end of chapter 2 in the church, and they had all things common and sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they had continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart. Do you know what's wrong with so many people today? They got no focus. They don't know what life is really supposed to be about. They think the main thing in their life is their house, their yard, their furniture, their drapes, their, you understand what I'm saying? their profession at their job or whatever. No, we were made for more than that, for bigger than that. And when you are not on the right path and your focus is not eternal spiritual things, you can't help but get disillusioned. You can't help but get weary and think, what is all this for? I just feel like what's it going to amount to in the end? Well, you're right. If it's just natural things, it comes to nothing. Oh, but if you are doing what the Lord made you to be and do, and you are a valuable working part of this church, you will have a soul satisfaction that unsaved people will never have. You will have a heart contentment because you know what we just did is going to last forever. Yes. What we just did working on this project, working on this sending the word, working on helping these people get their answers, whatever you're doing in the work of the church lasts forever. Yes. And the reward lasts forever. And changed hearts lasts forever. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No wonder they were praising God and having favor with all the people. In fact, everybody on the outside around them said, now that's a happy bunch. Do you see that church? That's a happy bunch. And the Lord added to the church daily. See, one of the reasons why that was happening, because people from the outside are looking in and going, man, you become a part of that bunch. They take care of you. I'm telling you, you got friends for life. I'm going over there. Right? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We see that in the beginning days of the church, they weren't experiencing chaos and confusion and fighting and infighting and strife. They weren't struggling, starving, and lack and couldn't pay their bills. That's not the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. His church is a victorious church. His church is a holy church filled with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit and the direction and love and all the love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. Does that sound like a good place to be and to live and to function? Well, you're a part of the same church. Somebody say, I am. A part of this. Holy Spirit filled. God provided. Victorious church. Glory to God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. There's much more to shout about in this victorious church. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.